You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
After Bill English announced his resignation on Tuesday, the National Party leadership race began, with Simon Bridges, Judith Collins and Amy Adams currently standing for the position. to political commentator Dr. Bryce Edwards about Bill's resignation, the pros and cons of each leadership candidate, the National Party leadership selection process, and who he thinks has got it in the bag. I started by asking what he thinks, why he thinks Bill English resigned.
I think once National fell out of government late last year and Labor formed the government, it was just inevitable he would have to go. In modern politics, leaders just don't stick around after defeat for very long. And so it was just a case of him choosing when to go. And unfortunately, I think he was pushed a bit in the last couple of weeks with some undermining, destabilisation of his leadership from within the caucus. So it was his decision to go, but I don't think the timing was his choice.
Well, this leadership race for National is less clear than when Bill English stood for his leadership position after John Key's resignation at the end of 2016. What do you think makes this leadership race different than the last?
Well, I guess National have a problem with succession planning. They haven't really fostered any very strong candidates, in my belief, for the top job, except for, of course, you had Bill English, who has been in National for decades and has been very stable and very strong.
Why do you think that is? Why haven't they fostered leadership that way?
I think it's a modern phenomenon in politics that political parties aren't very forward-thinking. They're very much focused on the here and now, and thinking 5 years ahead just isn't a big part of the agenda. And a lot of people get burnt off along the way. So people like Simon Power in the past could have been a good leader, but he got burnt off. Even people like Nikki Kaye, who I think would be probably their best bet, is somehow put off being the leader at the moment, because not everyone, you know, wants that challenge and wants all the hassle that comes with it. So I don't know. I'm still a bit mystified why there isn't more quality candidates, but I mean, I still think that Simon Bridges is probably going to be the winner, and he does have a lot of qualities about him that means that I think he'll be an adequate leader.
Going back to Nikki Kaye, do you think the reason why one of the reasons why she decided not to stand, even though she is probably one of the most likely to win if she did stand, do you think it's got something to do with National's chances of winning the 2020 election?
It could well do, and there is a lot of speculation around that, because it would be wise for her, I think, to wait for longer. But politicians aren't very good at that. They don't really think long-term. They normally think, if there's a chance for me winning the leadership now, I'm going to take it, even if they know that it might be better holding out for a few years. But maybe she is smarter than most of her colleagues, and so she is holding back. That's right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So moving on to the candidates themselves, you've already said that you think Simon Bridges is most likely, but could you give a brief assessment, pro, con, about each of the candidates?
Sure, yeah. So Bridges' pros are that he's running on this line that he is a part of generational change, but he has some experience. So he's been a cabinet minister, he's been around for a while, but he's still relatively young. He's seen as a very positive politician. He's been able to win his electorate in Tauranga a few times. He's got quite an amazing backstory in terms of coming from a more working class West Auckland background, doing very well in academia, going to Oxford, becoming a lawyer, a Crown prosecutor. On the downsides, of course, he's seen as being quite arrogant and sometimes quite smarmy. Those things about his working class sort of background, I think, are seen by some as negatives, such as his kind of more Kiwi accent, if you like, and he doesn't really have some of the graces that some of the posher candidates, I think, have in National. And he's been seen as a bit lazy over the last few years. I think he hasn't really achieved that much. In terms of Amy Adams, I think there's a real consensus, especially in Parliament, that she's a very competent politician. She's a policy wonk. She knows you know, a lot of the different fields in depth in politics, and is seen as a very solid and good minister and politician. She, I think, also works very well with her colleagues and is a very, I guess, friendly politician to many people. The downsides are that she's hasn't really got that kind of star quality. She doesn't really come across as a leader, I don't believe. She, I guess, doesn't really have a big public profile and comes across as a bit ordinary. And New Zealanders expect politicians to be something a bit more than ordinary at the moment. In terms of the third candidate, Judith Collins, her pros and cons, I think, are much darker than the rest of the field, in the sense that her strength is that she is incredibly colourful and interesting as a politician. She, you know, wears her heart on her sleeve, has some strong principles and policies, and is just so much more bolder than those other candidates. So she's going to be able to motivate and mobilise her own base, but of course she's going to alienate. And that's her main downside, is that she's going to polarise and turn a lot of swing voters against National, which is, I don't think, is what National wants at the moment. So that's why I don't think she'll be the leader. So that's really, in a nutshell, where I see the three main candidates being at the moment.
So do you think, with obviously the female candidates, do you think some of those negative sides, I suppose, with maybe Amy Adams not seeming as like a stronger leader, or, you know, Judith Collins seeming alienating, do you think it's got anything to do with Labor and Jacinda being the leader, and that politics at the moment has got sort of a, yeah, I suppose, sort of quite a female forefront at the moment?
Oh, and just gender politics in general are very heightened at the moment. We're much more focused on issues of gender and sexism and disparities in gender, and we are expecting women to play much higher public roles in life. And so, and now that we have, of course, Ardern is a very extraordinary popular Prime Minister, I think National will be thinking very hard about this gender issue. And I think that will give extra impetus to them considering whether they need to have a female leader. And certainly Amy Adams will be advantaged by that, I think. I think they'll both be able to be seen to compete with Jacinda Ardern quite well in that regard. And Judith Collins has talked about that quite frankly, saying that she's not afraid to be able to stand up to Jacinda Ardern and to put her under heat, whereas she seems to think some of her other colleagues might not be able to do that.
Do you think that there will be anybody else who will put their name forward?
I'm hearing rumours of a ticket between Joyce and Bennett. So Stephen Joyce, Paula Bennett, they would be an interesting alternative to what's currently on offer. I guess they would run as a more sort of solid, stable, proven...
Been there for a long time.
Yeah, they have. But I don't think that's really going to resonate with the National Caucus at the moment, who seem to have a desire for generational change. And this old guard of politics and National are seen as having had their day. So I would be surprised if that happens and if they were successful. But it's still a possibility.
Yeah, it seems like just politics in general is just progressing in sort of a more sort of changing generational movement.
So absolutely.
As for the national selection process for their leadership, how does that happen?
It's a voting caucus. The details of when that vote occurs isn't that clear. It's going to be probably next Tuesday or Tuesday after, and it's a vote where you have to get a majority of support. You need to have more than 50% of the vote, so that's what, 29 MPs you need to have a vote. And it's progressive voting, and it means that if you have like five candidates running for leader, and after the first vote no one's got 29 votes, they will take the lowest polling candidate out of the hat, if you like, and run that vote again until you get someone that wins 29%. So it's probably quite a smart way of doing it, so that no one is splitting the vote. And so that you do make sure that eventually you get a leader that's been supported by the majority of the National MPs.
Do you think that leaving it only up to the MPs, though, is fully representative of the party?
Oh, this is a real age-old question of, yeah, who has the power to, you know, to elect our leaders? And you know, that's the way that most parties have done the leadership election for, you know, decades or a century. There is a shift throughout the world at the moment to involve the membership and others in this election process. And so we see that, you know, the Greens have done it for quite a while. Labour now has shifted to that that model of involving members and unions. And I don't see that National's going to change that anytime soon. There's a question about how much membership gets consulted by National MPs, and you know, I think the National MPs claim that they consult with their branches and their members about who to vote for. But and I think members themselves, I don't really sense that there's any great momentum for changing that system. They like to trust their MPs, I think, to make the right decision. But ultimately, I think in the future it probably will shift, but it's probably some time off in National.
So final question, why does it matter who wins the National leadership? Like, what will it mean for the National Party and for New Zealand in future elections?
Yeah, that's a big question. And maybe it really doesn't matter that much. I mean, of all the candidates, in some ways they have different personalities and different styles of leadership, but I'm not really sensing a great policy difference between all of them, even though there are some differences. And you know, I guess the big question is, will it make the National Party more competitive and therefore have given them a greater sense or chance of changing the government in 2020? And I think that's probably the main criteria that will be used when the National Caucus are voting. So, yeah, I think we should care about, you know, whether there's a change of government and whether we want a change of government and how that might happen under the different leaders of Bridges, Adams or Judith Collins. But, yeah, in some senses, I don't think it's a huge issue in New Zealand politics, and we're likely to see there that, well, just judging any political party in these circumstances, I think you'll see that there is likely to be a few different leaders over the next few years at National.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.